Hello and welcome to the British Chamber of Commerce Singapore's podcast channel. With over 15,000 downloads since launch, we are excited to bring you season 4 featuring in-depth content on business, global affairs and news across Singapore, ASEAN and the United Kingdom. Thank you as always for your continued support and I hope you enjoy this podcast.
Welcome to this British Chamber of Commerce Singapore podcast, where we will be exploring a theme that is very dear to my heart, school holidays. My name is Nick Magnus, and I'm the founding head of Dulwich College here in Singapore. I also serve on various external education boards across Asia, as well as being the secretary for the British Chamber here in Singapore. Now, as a teacher, I do believe that I am very well qualified to talk about travel and holidays for both educational and recreational purposes. To support me with that today, I'm fortunate to call upon the wisdom, knowledge and experience of Sophie Hughes, Head of Business Development at Lightfoot Travel. Lightfoot Travel was started by two British expats in Singapore in 2009 as the first tour operator of its kind in Asia. Lightfoot Travel provided a tailored approach to planning a holiday for travellers, having now expanded to Hong Kong, Dubai, London, and more recently, the US. With a focus on bespoke trips and adventures, the team have all lived and worked around the globe and specialise on their area of expertise, creating authentic and personalised itineraries. Sophie Hughes began her career in the travel industry 10 years ago in London after graduating from Newcastle University. She moved to Singapore in 2021 to further expand her knowledge of Asia and to help rebuild Lightfoot Travel following the pandemic. As Head of Business Development, Sophie now focuses on building and maintaining partnerships and client relations while squeezing in as much travel as possible of her own. So welcome, Sophie. Now, there is an adage that says, you never really appreciate something until you haven't got it anymore. And the pandemic and the travel restrictions that brought with it really made us appreciate that. So, Sophie, how is the travel and holiday market and industry in a post-pandemic Singapore?
Thanks, Nick. So it's definitely evolved. Travel's changed quite a bit. So when we started, you know, a long time ago, almost 15 years ago, we very much focused on tailor-made itineraries, doing more intrepid adventures, trying to get off the beaten track. But COVID changed all that. And after a couple of years of people not being able to go anywhere, there was then a real focus on what we call fly and flops. And that is getting out of Singapore, going to a beach destination, relaxing on the beach by the pool, reading, having lots of privacy, being quite secluded, and just generally chilling out. And then now that we're kind of evolving and coming out of the pandemic, and I'd say we've had a good solid year in Asia now outside of COVID, we're definitely seeing a trend going more towards the tailor-made itineraries, multi-stop itineraries, where you might want to squeeze in a few different destinations within your trip, and actually get out there and immerse yourself amongst communities again. Contact is back. We can speak to new people, meet new people, go to kids clubs again. All these things which we weren't able to do before. So yeah, we're definitely seeing lots of exciting destinations come back.
Excellent. Great. Thank you. Now, none of us would deny the importance of getting away and having a change of scene or routine and the benefits that this has to our own well-being and that of our families. But we're all busy people. And although for some, the planning of the trip is actually part of the fun, for others, you know, they're busy people. They don't have the time to do that. It can be quite daunting sort of navigating the huge number of websites that exist out there. So why use a tour operator?
So a tour operator offers that full wraparound service from start to finish. So from the moment you land to when you come home, You've got that service on the ground looking after you. So if anything does go wrong, a tour operator is on hand to pick up the pieces. And there's definitely a level of stress-free planning when it comes to booking a trip. You're not going to be overwhelmed by lots of different websites, getting lost on TripAdvisor. A tour operator can give you that advice. And then you can also take advantage of having a ground partner to look after you throughout your trip. So taking care of your transfers, hotels, private guides, and assisting you along the way with any amendments, last minute bookings, and that kind of thing. So I think a tour operator really comes into its own with the expertise of the travel designers and saving people time. So you give the brief and then you're sent the options which suit you personally. I think that's why people would use a tour operator in general.
Super. And why Lightfoot Travel? There are lots of companies out there. What makes you a bit special?
So firstly, most importantly, we're fully licensed and covered by the Singapore government. So you've got that peace of mind and level of security when you are away. Lightfoot Travel are actually the most established tour operator in Asia, having been around since 2009. So that gives the company and the team a huge amount of knowledge and expertise when it comes to which destinations, which hotels, suppliers, and guides are the best in the business. And we actually personally interview all of our ground partners, guides, drivers to ensure their language and service levels are up to the best standards. So we really make sure guests will have an amazing experience on their trip. You've also got our wonderful team who are based all around the world in Singapore, Hong Kong, Dubai, London, the US. So everyone's got firsthand experience with the destinations they're selling and can give personal feedback and opinions on each of the hotels and the best routes to take. So even we've got Nico, one of our co-founders. He actually lived and worked in Africa and he was guiding in the Masai Mara. So he's really done it firsthand and knows it super well. And that means he's clued up on weather patterns. He can advise on when to go and that kind of thing. So I think that's really important that the team have that wealth of experience themselves and can share that and then locate the best hotels, experiences, off the beaten track lodges and create authentic itineraries which offer something a bit different and that you wouldn't otherwise find if you're searching online and looking at different websites. So I'd say that's one of the reasons why Lightfoot are really great and excel in what we do. I'd say another important factor would be time. So Lightfoot Travel can really save you that time by using their expertise to recommend the best destinations and hotels to suit your family. We deal with all the elements of the trip, so you only need to book and pay through one company. And we even have an app where everything's uploaded. You've got your itinerary on there, weather forecasts, and your holiday contacts, everything you can need at your fingertips. So that's one of the main reasons as well. And of course, we have ground partners there on the ground to support you throughout. We've got a 24/7 contact number to assist with any emergencies or last minute assistance and that kind of thing. So as you can imagine, our service was invaluable during COVID to all of our clients.
Well, makes for peace of mind. Lovely. Thank you. So we all know about that. We all need a good beach blowout now and again. But what is the, you know, what is the family holiday looking like now? Are we seeing new patterns and trends? You've touched on it already.
Yeah, sure. So that kind of brings me on to the education side of things and getting kids off their iPads, out into the wild, mixing with different cultures and trying new things. So holidays have really evolved and it's now not just about where you've been, but what you've done whilst you're there. And thanks to lots of social media and seeing incredible photos of everyone's travels around the world, everyone always wants to do something different and something new. And we're really seeing requests come from parents and families where they want to do a holiday which is active, it's educational. If there's a kids club, we want to make sure there's no video gaming. We want to make sure it's easy to get to because we've got school holidays to bear in mind. So we want direct flights or an easy connection. And if we are going to be doing adventures and guided tours, we want intuitive guides who will communicate with the kids, keep them engaged and enjoy activities which kids can't experience back home. So I get parents coming to me asking for kids clubs which don't have video games, but instead focus on, you know, getting outdoors, sustainability, that kind of thing. And many of the hotels that we work with, Six Senses is a lovely brand that we work closely with, and they have a big focus on this. And that's teaching the kids things that are really important today with sustainability, things like turtle conservation, coral restoration, and they might do treasure hunts around the resort to find bits of plastic and then do arts and crafts and that kind of thing. And also visits to local communities, meeting other kids from different backgrounds and that kind of thing. So it's really about getting out there and doing something different.
Great, thank you. Now, you know, the busy life of the executive, we all know about that now. Are you seeing now that parents, busy mums and dads are trying to escape from the office, but they're also seeking that digital detox for their children and for their teenagers in particular, trying to escape the dreaded Snapchat and Instagram? Are you seeing that as a trend?
100%. Yeah, that's a big trend. And I think that's where more adventurous itineraries come into play. You know, beach destinations are fantastic and everyone needs that fly and flop, like you said. But we're definitely seeing more requests for intrepid trips. So for example, safaris are a great way to get kids out and about to experience wildlife. You've got Africa, you've got India, where you can head to Ranthambore National Park and see the tigers. You've got Sri Lanka on our doorstep, where you can do Yala National Park and see leopards, elephants, crocodiles. So definitely safaris are a really popular one for us, where we can get that digital detox in play, get them out on game drives, seeing lots of wildlife and meeting with the locals. And then you've got other types of trips which might actually tie in with the kids' syllabus. So we've had requests for Egypt, you know, to see the pyramids. We've had requests for Peru to do the Inca Trail. We've got Angkor Wat, again, on our doorstep, which is one of our most frequent trips for families. And we've got really fun, like kid-friendly activities around places like Angkor Wat, like cycling, treasure hunts, and that kind of thing. So I think those are the types of trips where we can get everyone, including the parents, off their iPhones, off the screens, and try something a bit different.
Great. I mean, the personalised trip is an exciting idea as opposed to sort of buying something off the shelf. So how does a client go about creating that with you? What's the process?
So essentially, when the inquiry comes in, we'll make sure that it's assigned to the consultant that has the most experience with that destination. And then we'll usually try and set up a call, if possible, just to run through preferences, you know, the information on the family or the couple or the individual traveller, what you're looking for, you know, what your interests are. Do you like history, culture? Are you looking for a bit of wine tasting, market tours? Perhaps you're really interested in cuisine. And then we can really tailor the itinerary based on your interests and preferences. So we'd then go away, we'd liaise with our ground partner and create this bespoke itinerary and come back to you with a quote. It's always really important to know how much a client is looking to spend as well, so that we can really navigate the best way to look at various hotels and experiences and what would be most suitable for that family.
Great. Now, the kids club can be very, very important to busy mums and dads who also want to have some quality time themselves as part of the holiday. And you've talked about how they are beginning to evolve. So what are holiday clubs looking like now in a post-pandemic world?
So there's definitely been a big emphasis on being outside. I think back in the day, the kids club might have just been a little corner room inside with perhaps a little climbing frame and maybe a swing outside, but there's now so much competition to have the best kids club out there. And it's not just about having a kids club where you can drop your kids and then they can play in that spot all day. It's about having a full program of activities and excursions which the kids can then partake in. And all the resorts have different age groups now, so you've got 0 to 3, you've got 3 to 10, you've got the teenagers club. And they're all really focusing on elements for that specific age group, where you can get out, explore the island, explore the area, do cycling trips, boat trips, treasure hunts, all these different kinds of things, and also learn about sustainability at the same time, and really educate kids whilst they're there. So yeah, I think that the Kids Club has evolved hugely, and is still a very important part of giving the parents a break as well.
Great. Can we touch on, I mean, those of us that are fortunate enough to have teenagers as children, we know that it's not always straightforward to keep them entertained, other than them being stuck to their phone or their iPad. So Can you think of anything specifically that teenage clubs are doing to interest the teenager on their family holiday?
So, of course, there is some kind of element of electronics. That is something that we can't avoid. So if there are teenage clubs, then there may be some kind of Xbox, that kind of thing. But I think it also is about doing more adventurous things. So you might go to somewhere like Morocco or Oman, and you know, kids clubs will offer things like quad biking. You can do camping under the stars. So just a bit more adult orientated activities, which kids club wouldn't offer before. But when you get to that age, you want to do something a bit more adventurous. So zip lining and just getting out of the hotel sometimes, boat trips, that kind of thing.
Great. Sounds fabulous. So what are the new and upcoming destinations? What's hot at the moment? What's exciting and new?
Sure. So firstly, I'd say we're getting a lot of requests for boat trips, which are a fantastic way to see marine life, see wildlife, and also just be a bit more adventurous. We're very lucky living in Singapore. We've got places like Komodo, the Spice Islands, Raja Ampat, all on our doorstep. So there's companies such as Rascal and various other yachting companies where you can either take a cabin or you can actually take a boat exclusively for, I usually say, minimum 4 nights and all the way up to 2 weeks, and enjoy a family trip. And these boats often have naturalists on board who talk through the wildlife, marine life. You can learn how to dive. You can just go out and do some snorkeling. You can just enjoy some water sports. You can do things like see the Komodo dragons. So I definitely say boat trips for this part of the world are increasingly popular. Another destination which is quite popular for us is Lapland. And this is particularly popular for families, as the kids can meet Santa, of course. And then they can do other activities like reindeer sledging. You've got all the skidooing. You've got all those kinds of things, husky sledging, that kind of thing. So Lapland is definitely one for the bucket list for lots of kids. And then in this kind of area as well, we're seeing a big increase in places like New Zealand and Fiji, and looking at road trips. So especially if you've got older kids who don't mind being in the car, New Zealand is a great place for doing road trips and seeing the beautiful landscape, whether you just do South Island, whether you just do North Island, or you do both. That's a fantastic trip. And then combining that with Fiji, which is brilliant for families as well. Childcare is often complimentary over there with your booking. You've got stunning, very safe beaches, and you can do lots of boat trips out on the water as well. So yeah, I would say New Zealand and Fiji is definitely up there. In terms of some destinations which are really close to our hearts and which we sell quite a lot and are a bit different, there's places such as Northern Laos, where you've got Lang Prabang and Vang Vieng, but also north of there, you've got some amazing, more secluded parts of Laos, where you can meet with local tribes and do boat trips up the river and that kind of thing. So Laos is a very beautiful place, which we love to sell. And then we do also work with lots of the larger brands, Amans, Mandarins, Four Seasons, but we love to find the more off the beaten track lodges and properties as well, which have their own story, lots of history, maybe they're family run. And so we're always on the hunt for places like that. In fact, that makes me think of Alad in the Philippines in Siargao. It's had just had a huge renovation. There's amazing surfing there. You can do boat trips. And that's got a big focus on sustainability as well. So yeah, those are just a few places which are coming up. And then also Rajasthan, always popular for us. There's so much going on. There's so much to see. It's an explosion of the senses in Rajasthan. Colour, smells, hotels, palaces, wildlife. Yeah, so those are all really popular. And I would say Sri Lanka is coming back as well. Sri Lanka had a bit of a break. And towards the end of this year, we've really seen our requests start coming back in for Sri Lanka, which we're very happy to see, as it's a destination that needs tourism. And the people are so friendly. So yeah, Sri Lanka is definitely coming back too.
Super, thank you. Sophie, my final question, crystal ball time. So if you were to look, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years into the future, you know, what is the future of travel and family holidays to look forward to?
So I think in terms of the future of travel, I think it will be looking at destinations which aren't so visited now, but are becoming more and more popular, and perhaps with a real focus on the outdoors. So places like Bhutan, and where there's lots of small intimate properties with lots of character. You can do lots of cycling there, hiking there, and whilst also learning a lot about the history and the culture. Places like Mongolia, and there's definitely so much room for travel there. And that's a culture which is so alien to most of the world, but it's so interesting. And I guess because it's near us here, it's more on my radar. And we do get inquiries for it, for families as well. So I think it's really doing those outdoorsy active trips with horse riding, game drives, and perhaps going somewhere which you wouldn't necessarily have been able to book 10 years ago. And it just gives you an experience of a new culture. In terms of flights, we've also got so many more flights coming back post-COVID. And I think people are able to travel further. In terms of the people that do travel, we definitely see more and more multi-generational trips now. So we've got the kids, we've got the parents, and we've got the grandparents all traveling together, which is fantastic. And maybe it was COVID that taught us that we need to spend as much time together as possible. You never know what's around the corner. And if you can all get away together, then it's great to see all the generations traveling together.
Great. I think that's a wonderful way to wrap up this podcast. So thank you, Sophie. Thank you to Lightfoot Travel. And to those listening and watching, thank you for your time. Happy holidays to you all. Go safe, go well, enjoy your children. And remember, there is no greater gift than you can give your children than to give them your time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you, Sophie.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the British Chamber of Commerce Singapore's podcast channel. Before you go, don't forget to subscribe, and why not leave us a rating and review on Spotify, Apple, Google, and the other podcast platforms. For more information about the Chamber, please visit our website at www.britcham.org.sg and tune in next time for a brand new episode.